What's up, everyone? Eddie Mercado here with BloodyElbow.com, and I'm about to interview Mr. Danger Zone, Mitch Clark. Now, Mitch Clark is 11-3, and he is set to take on Irish Joe, Joseph Duffy, at UFC Fight Night 90. So we're going to give him a call and find out kind of what's been going on with him over the past year, and what can we expect from him in this bout. Let's give Danger Zone a call and see what he has to say about all this.
Hello?
Mr. Mitch Clark.
How's it going?
Eddie Mercado here with Bloody Elbow.
I'm doing well. How are you?
I'm doing well. Thank you for taking the time out of your schedule to talk with me. You got a big fight coming up. You're taking on Irish Joe, Joseph Duffy at UFC Fight Night 90 on July 7th. Huge card. You're going to be on the main card. And it's been a while since we've seen you last. Can you kind of elaborate on, kind of what the past year has been like for you and what you've been doing since your Michael Chiesa bout?
Just hanging out, playing Nintendo. I had a couple injuries from the Chiesa fight, which I had to rehab, and then I was just working to kind of shore up some of my discrepancies that I was missing, and then I had my freak needle accident, and then I did a pro submission match in Nova Scotia, which was really cool. It was nice. It got me kind of excited about training and fighting again, and then just since then, I was like, I just wanted to get healthy, and not just healthy, but like stay in good shape and be ready if I needed to take a short notice fight, because usually I'm not that guy because I get morbidly obese in between fights. So the thing was keep my weight low, and I was doing a lot of work in terms of fixing posture and stuff like that, and just training hard, and then I changed up my camp and went to Albuquerque, New Mexico.
Okay.
And here we are.
So has that been the issue? Has it been injuries? Because since 2012, you've had one fight each year. So has that been the reason for that?
Essentially, you have to kind of look at that kind of what was going on. When I fought Anton Kuvanen, I blew out my knee. When I fought John McGuire, my back, my back was all messed up. And then later on, we found out there was posture issues. That was a big part of that. When I fought Al, when I was hitting that submission, my elbow started popping. So, it's partially injuries, but at the same time, in between fights, I want to take time to grow as an athlete, add to my skill set. If you're fighting every 3-4 months, you're not really getting better. Your time, you'll get a little bit better. You might add one thing to your toolkit, but if you look, since every fight, I've improved in one area, usually in a giant leap. So, the idea is, if you don't get better, you're getting worse. So, I've just been trying to improve as a fighter, as a martial artist, as a person, making those leaps and so I can put on better shows every time I fight.
Okay. All right. Now, how did you even get mixed up into MMA to begin with? I mean, you're a professional fighter. How did that come to be?
I wrestled in high school and college, and I did some judo. I was kind of like, I didn't really want to wrestle anymore. So I was watching TV, and you saw a commercial for The Ultimate Fighter, and I was like, I remember that because I'd watched Ultimate growing up, and then it just happened. I was just like, oh, I'm going to try that out. That looks like fun. And I went to the local MMA gym, and I got beat up, and I signed up immediately.
Okay. Now, is that where you got your nickname from?
No, that was several years later. My dad had done up a bunch of shirts for one of my fights. He's a graphic artist. And, it was a caricature of me. And then I'm like, well, we need to fill in some space. And he had a cage on there. And he's like, welcome to the Danger Zone, was printed on it. And one of my teammates at the time, Victor Bachman, just kept calling me Danger Zone, and then before the fight, the not the ref, the MC was like, "You have a nickname?" "No." And then he goes up, Victor goes up to the MC and it's like, his nickname's Danger Zone. So and because I hated it, it stuck, but it's unique. It's different from all the assassins and pit bulls and et cetera, you know, and right. really mean stuff. It's something different, so I like it.
Yeah, I mean, you see a lot of repetitive names. I think you might be the only Danger Zone. I dig it, man.
I hope so.
It's good. It's real good. Now, how'd you get mixed up in the MMA lab with John Crouch and all of them?
I was doing a camp with my buddy Brian Cobb, and we were going all through California, and then I needed to do a camp. I was like, I need to like go somewhere, be there consistently for 5-6 weeks. And my manager like just kind of like, he'd met John Crouch, and he's like, "You're paying your guys, need a place to train." And it just kind of fell into it. I stayed at Benson Henderson's house. It was a great experience. Even though I didn't get the result in the fight I wanted, I still had worked so hard and, you know, improved a lot for that fight.
Okay. Now, who are some of the guys you're training with at the MMA lab right now?
I'm at, for this fight or for the last fight?
Oh, you're not, are you not at the lab for this fight?
No, I'm at Jackson Wink.
Oh, okay. Wow. Okay.
Yeah.
So what brought that on?
You know, I kind of needed to change things up personally in terms of I needed to be a little bit more selfish, get a little bit more personal attention. They have such a staff at Jackson Wink, and I talked to a couple of the coaches, and they said, "Yeah, come on down." And they just did. The atmosphere seemed great, and you know, their big thing is preventing overtraining. So that was the big focus, was just getting the best out of me we could.
Okay, have you trained with Phil Hawes at all?
Yeah, he's a stud.
Yeah, he just had his World Series of Fighting debut at World Series of Fighting 31, and he's already going to be back at it, I believe, July 30th at World Series of Fighting 32. So I'm excited to see him.
He's a stud. There's a reason why there's hype around him.
Yeah, he's definitely impressive. So I want to talk about your Ally Quinta fight for a second, because
okay.
I mean, the nickname Danger Zone just seems so fitting there. It's like, you know, I Quinta, he seemed to be doing well on his feet, and then for whatever reason he decided to come into the Danger Zone. And I mean, you put him to sleep, and it was so unconventional how you caught. Now, do you call it a Darce or is it Brabo? I know you're Canadian. Is it a Canadian Darce or is it a Brabo choke?
I call it a Darce. You know what I mean? We have a name for it now. We call it the Bone Daddy.
The Bone Daddy.
Yeah, just because like I have such long forearms, the kind of cutting part on my wrist is usually what catches and finishes it. And one, I was teaching at a seminar, and a guy's like, "Oh, you're so bony." It's like, and then someone just named it the Bone Daddy. So we named it the Bone Daddy, and now we have a backup move called the Bone Daddy Junior. So, you know, like the thing was, like in that second round, he was doing well, and then I kind of clipped him and caught his foot at the same time, and I was like, "Oh, he's down!" And I just rushed after him. And got taken down because of it. I partially sprawled, and I remember my hip smashed into his face, and I think that was part of it. But he was trying to climb up my body in the side control, and you know, I compete in sport jiu-jitsu. I do sport jiu-jitsu, and I'm about attacking all the time. So the big thing was, you know, like that's a move I do, and it just like it fell into place. So the only thing that changed was there's a little bit of cage, so it worked out well.
Okay. Now, you were a brown belt at the time, correct?
Yeah.
Are you still a brown belt?
I'm still a brown belt.
Still a brown belt. Okay. Hey, no shame in that. There's no shame in that at all. All right. So, you know, you finished Ally Quinta in impressive fashion, off for a year, come back and face Michael Chiesa on the main card at UFC Fight Night 63. Now, can you kind of go into that bout a little bit, and kind of what was your mindset going into it, and what are your thoughts on how the fight played out?
You know, the biggest thing going into that, there were, the focus of what to do wasn't there. You know, like the coaching staff at the time was like, just go out there, go fight. You know, you're the better fighter. And I wholeheartedly believe that, but I didn't have like a set game plan of what I was going to do. And I think that that led to that chaos, and it led to him getting on my back so easily. And then in between the second and third, they're like, hey, we need to go out and go finish him, you know, go finish him with your hands. And you go out there, and, you know, I hurt him a couple times and moved a lot, and I was being aggressive and doing what I needed to do. Unfortunately, couldn't put him away, and then he went on to see the study is now. So, you know, and no one wants to be a stepping stone for someone, but, like, he's done well against, he's finished good guys, and he didn't finish me, so. Yeah, I mean, it's a little bit of a bolster.
Okay. Now, do you think with a bit of a, I don't want to say a just completely game, a complete game plan, but with a different game plan, do you think that fight would have played out a little differently?
I think it would have played out differently. You know, I don't like to play too much in the what ifs game. I obviously, I think I can win that fight. You know, I just kind of need to have a different mindset and focus, but. You know, I can't play in the past, and, you know, I just use it as a growing experience, and that's the best thing I can do from it.
Okay. Now, in between the second and third round, like you were saying, your coaches were telling you to let your hands go, and you did just that. I mean, you came out, you're using your footwork, and you were putting hands on Chiesa. Can you kind of elaborate on the progression of your striking? Because obviously you're a jiu-jitsu-based guy, but can you talk about the evolution of you as a complete mixed martial artist?
Well, the big thing in between those fights, I started working a lot more at Avenue Boxing with the coach Milan Lubavic and Jelena Mirjanovic. They're both high-level boxers. So they wanted to kind of change me a little bit instead of being so Muay Thai-based. I let those hands go. And the big thing was footwork. Footwork wins fights. And, you know, that better footwork allowed for me to be able to move better and get things going a little bit better. So. That was a big thing for me, was just, changing that up and adding that into the game, and just remembering that consistency is what breeds success. And it was just being consistent and keep on working and building my craft. And I think it made a big difference. And I think, consistently going there, it can make me as well-rounded as possible.
Okay. Now, you talked about, you know, kind of bolstered your confidence a little bit with Chiesa going on to do pretty well. Now, I mean, the same it can be said for Ally Quinta. I mean, he's been doing pretty well as of late. You know, he's right up there at the top of the lightweight division. Chiesa's right there at the top of the division. Where do you rank yourself as far as the division goes?
I think part of it is the reason why I'm not ranked super high is just due to the fact that periods of inactivity. But I'm not here for rankings. I'm here to have good fights, and then when things come together and those wins, like all my hard work pays off, you know, then I'll be in top 15, and then you start climbing towards that shiny belt. In terms of rankings, I don't know where I sit because, you know, just due to time off. But I'm in here training, and as a fighter, I think, you know, a couple of good wins, I'll be in that top 15 for sure.
Okay. Now, on your plate right now, you have Joseph Duffy. Of course, mm-hmm. He came over. He was the last guy to defeat Conor McGregor before the Diaz thing. He's been doing really well in the UFC. He showed tremendous punching power. You know, in his last fight with Dustin Poirier, he showed some holes in his grappling. Is that something that you think you're going to exploit?
Partially, you know, I'm not gonna, the guys who just go in there, and there's, the last Brazilian he fought, he tried to go in there with that kind of game plan, and it blew up in his face, and he got triangled because of it. You know, you gotta be smart, you gotta go use your game plan, and you can't just go in there expecting you're just gonna, like, smash through his grappling just because he's a good boxer. He's a good grappler, too. He's got good boxing, and he moves well, and he's confident, so the big thing is just being as smart as possible, you know, he set part of the game plan, but I think also his win set the game plan of what not to do. So, you know, it's just kind of putting it all together and being the best me I can.
Okay. Now, I mean, Obviously, he's a pretty tall fighter. Now, have you come up with a game plan to kind of address his range?
I think people forget that I have really long arms, and I think he's maybe an inch taller than me, if that. I'm 5'10 and a half. It says 73 on my reach, but I know it's longer than that. So I'm not too worried. I'm also like working with a lot of long, rangy welterweights and stuff like that. It helps, you know. So it is just about getting my stuff going.
Okay. Now, when you consider level of competition that each of you have faced, are you a little bit surprised that you are such a heavy underdog in this fight?
I've been an underdog every fight. It doesn't matter to me anymore. And before, I used to get under my skin, but it, you know, I don't know how bad it is. I don't really care. But I'm going to be an underdog every fight, so I don't really give a shit.
Okay. You got a prediction for how you see the fight playing out?
You know, I think just me moving, me getting my game plan going, moving on him, making him feel uncomfortable, and then, you know, if he gives me something, I'm going to take it. But I got, you know, I've been training at elevation too. I'm ready to go full 50 minutes and that long. So just go out there, go be me, and plan on coming out with the hand raised.
Okay, I dig it. Now, what would be after that for Danger Zone? Obviously, a top 10, of course.
You know, I'll fight whoever they tell me to fight. That's my big thing, and I know it's kind of cliche, but, you know, I don't know very much about matchmaking. This is a good fight on paper, I think. So the big thing is just kind of like, whatever they tell me, I'm going to go to.
Okay. Now, what are you doing to unwind for this fight?
I've been playing some Nintendo DS and some Mega Man X, and then
nice.
watching some old school pro wrestling. That's about it.
How old school are we talking here? Like early 90s?
Like early 90s, part of the 80s, you know, like old school. Like probably the latest would be like WrestleMania 10.
Okay, nice.
Yeah.
Now, do you think we'll ever see some of those wrestling moves get incorporated into the octagon?
Oh, you know, maybe someday try and get off like a Death Valley driver or something like that. Play by ear.
Okay. Hey, man, I'd be happy with the Boston Crab.
I try. If people wiggle out, it makes me sad. Half crab is more applicable, because if they don't go over, then you break their femur by accident.
Oh, man, that's awesome. Well, hey, do you got a prediction for the main event between Eddie Alvarez and Rafael Dos Anjos?
RDA by decision.
RDA by decision. Okay, it's going all five.
Yeah.
Awesome. Perhaps you'll be facing the winner soon?
Hey, if I just keep healthy and keep active, that's the plan.
Awesome. Well, Mitch Clark, thank you so much for taking out the time. I really appreciate it. And best of luck to you, man.
Thank you. Thank you. I appreciate it.
Yeah, stay in touch.
Okay.
Take care.
Bye.
There you have it, guys. Danger Zone. Mitch Clark about to take on Irish Joe. Joseph Duffy at UFC Fight Night 90. Man, this is going to be a good one. This is going to be a good one. I don't know who I'm going to pick. I think I'm leaning towards Mitch Clark on this one. But either way, it's going to be fun. And I have a feeling it might end in submission. So, yeah, go check it out. July 7, 2016 at the MGM Grand in Las Vegas, Nevada. UFC Fight Night 90, headlined by Rafael Dos Anjos taking on Eddie Alvarez for the UFC lightweight belt. Until then, tune in to Bloody Elbow for all your event coverage. Find me on Twitter at TheEddieMercado. And go be a good person.